Power Records presents...
Hello, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Power Records Podcast, where the action comes alive. I'm one of your hosts, Rob Kelly, and joining me as always is...
Chris Franklin.
Hey, Chris, this is so exciting. We're back in less than a year with a new episode of the Power Records Podcast.
Yes, we are. And, Rob, I don't know if you know that, notice this, but you can't see me right now.
Yes, we're going to... as Chris is referring to the fact that the theme of this episode is forgotten heroes, and specifically we're going to be talking about, we've been talking presumably the last couple of episodes, we've been really doing the mainstream Power Records. You know, we did Superman and Batman and the Fantastic Four and the Hulk, like all their big marquee names. So we decided, because we're tired of downloads, to pick some of the more obscure, of the Power Records stable. And in this case, we are going to be doing One Adventure from Gemini Man, not the Will Smith movie. That's, I think, going to be in theaters relatively soon by the time you all hear this. And then the even more obscure Hollow Man, which has an amazing story behind it, but we'll get to that in a moment. But yes, Gemini Man. Chris, do you want to describe what the hell Gemini Man is to people who don't know what it is? And I have to assume that's pretty much everybody.
Well, Gemini Man was a 1976 science fiction TV series that starred Ben Murphy as the lead character, Sam Casey, and he was essentially an invisible man. He was an invisible man who was an agent for the U.S. government. It was done apparently by the same folks, some of the same folks who did the $6 Million Man at the same time. And oddly enough, it is a super obscure series that only lasted, what was it, 8 episodes or something?
They made 12 episodes, but they only aired 8.
So wow.
Somewhere in a vault somewhere, there's 4 episodes of Gemini Man collecting dust.
Yeah, and what's weird is apparently it was a second attempt at doing the Invisible Man as a spy.
Yes.
Because the season before they had... the guy with the from the Man from U.N.C.L.E. played the Invisible
David,
Man.
David McCallum, yeah.
David
they
McCallum,
literally called
yeah.
that show The Invisible Man, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it was a second attempt, and of course both never, neither of them took, apparently. So there you go.
Yeah, the producer behind Gemini Man was a name very familiar to nerds out there, Harve Bennett. Who was the guy who, of course, took over the Star Trek franchise after Star Trek: The Motionless Picture, and you know, guided the series through its best installments. I don't care what Gene Hendricks says, you know, the thing that's amazing about Gemini Man, in so much so as a choice for a Power Record, is, as Chris joked about earlier, is that his whole shtick is that he turns invisible. So why would that be exciting as an audio adventure? you know, like what is that? You have to assume that Power Records, the Peter Pan people, just got wind of this. And maybe they were, I don't want to say they were desperate for properties, because they couldn't have been. I mean, they had everything. You know, they were the Mego of their time. Well, Mego was the Mego of their time, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But I mean, they had every license. They had Trek, they had Planet of the Apes, they had Marvel, they had Star Wars. They didn't have Star Wars, excuse me. They had DC, they had Marvel, they had the Marvel Monsters. I mean, they had everything you could want, and yet they went after this thing. But maybe there was something about it that they thought, oh, this thing's going to be a hit, and let's get in on the ground floor. I mean, as you mentioned, this is from the same people that did $6 Million Man. And, of course, they did $6 Million Man Records, which Shag is always clamoring us for us to do. So maybe they just thought, oh, you know, this is going to let – we're going to get this for these rights for a song, and we'll be in on the ground floor, and it'll be great. And, unfortunately – the TV show, not great. For any of you that have familiar with Gemini Man at all, you probably know it from the fact that they later on took 2 episodes of the show and sandwiched them together and turned it into a quote-unquote TV movie called Riding with Death, which was then spoofed on Mystery Science Theater. And that is one of their funniest episodes. I mean, I've watched that one hundreds of times. It's fall down funny how much they goof on Gemini Man. Have you seen much of Mystery Science Theater, Chris? I don't think we've ever talked about that.
I've seen quite a few. I'm not up on it like I should be, and I have not seen that one, so now I'm going to have to go find that one and watch it.
It's a riot. It's an absolute – I mean, to be fair, they really do pick on Ben Murphy a lot. They really kind of go after him. So. Aww. Yeah, it seems like a nice enough guy. I mean, he certainly had a nice TV career. So anyway, I guess that's enough preamble. We should just get right to it. Gemini Man was released as an LP, and it features four adventures. We're only going to play one of them for now because I think we're really testing the audience's patience by playing even one, let alone four. So we're gonna play the opening adventure, which is basically the origin of the Gemini Man, and that is called The Alchemist.
Sam, I've got a wild one for you.
What is it this time, Leonard?
We've received a report that a man in Pfluggenville, a Professor Schatz, has discovered a way to transform ordinary metals into gold.
You've got to be kidding.
He's serious, Sam. We received this information from a very reliable source.
Yes, as a matter of fact, our intelligence reports that a number of other parties, opposition parties, are on their way to Pfluggenville right now.
But this thing is a myth, the Midas touch story. It goes back to medieval legend, when the alchemists claimed they could turn lead into gold.
Medieval or not, the Treasury Department is very concerned.
Why?
Because if it's true, it could be the most powerful weapon since the atomic bomb. The group that controls that process could determine the economy of the entire world. Can you imagine the market being flooded with all of that gold? Our currency would be destroyed.
Nations would go bankrupt.
How come every time we get a nutcase, it falls into my lap?
Many men were considered crazy until their theories were proven. Then they were promoted to genius.
And don't forget the crazy woman who raved about an invisible man.
I get the message. I'll leave right away.
Later, at a gas station on the road to Pfluggenville.
Fill it up, bud?
Yes, please. And will you check under the hood?
Sure. Regular or premium?
Regular. It's pretty mountainous country.
You ain't seen nothing yet. The way you're going, there's a steep grade. Never take it out of first gear if you want my advice.
Thanks. I'll remember that. How far is it to Pfluggenville?
Pfluggenville? Oh, I'd say about 10, 12 miles, just down the mountain.
Can I get some coffee around here?
Yeah, we got a machine inside.
Thanks.
It's me. You said to call if I got any people interested in Pfluggenville. Just some guy, alone. You want me to take care of him? I could fix the brakes.
How much do I owe you?
$9.50.
Here you go. Thanks. Just down the hill. This is some hill. That guy was right. Have to do this in first gear. The brakes. Where are the brakes? I'm out of control. I'm gonna crash.
Hey, buddy, you all right? Come on, wake up.
Where am I? What happened, officer?
Oh, you had a nasty accident. You're lucky to be alive. There's nothing left of your car.
I lost my brakes. Coming down a hill. They didn't grab.
Happens all the time. Ride the brake down this grade. They burn out in no time. Where are you going?
To Pfluggenville.
Come on, I'll call the wrecker and give you a lift. That was a close call, buddy.
In Pfluggenville, Sam loses no time in locating the home of Professor Schatz.
Yes?
I'm here to see Professor Schatz.
And you are?
Sam Casey.
Please come in.
Thanks. Gee, this sure is a spooky place. Hey, what?
Take him down to the cellar.
Oh, my head. Oh, what a lump.
They hit you pretty hard. You've been out for some time.
Who are you?
Barton Schatz. This is my home.
You have a funny way of welcoming visitors.
Those men have taken over my home.
Who was that guy?
He calls himself Gruber. He is the leader. He claims to represent a group that wants to buy my metal transformation process. Who are you?
I'm Sam Casey. I came here to see if that process is for real.
Gruber says he will make me an offer when I demonstrate the machine.
Well, I don't think he plans on paying for it.
No, he wouldn't dare cheat me.
Professor, you and I are prisoners in your own house. I've heard of giving guests free rein. This is ridiculous.
Then you believe we are in danger?
I doubt we'll get out of here alive.
If Mr. Gruber finds out about the machine...
What about it?
It's a hoax. The whole thing. I made it up.
You mean you can't change common metals into gold?
I'm not even a professor.
This is wonderful.
I was a clerk at Vick's Gold Exchange in San Francisco. Last month, after 25 years of service, I was laid off. I was broke, so I helped myself to some gold bullion from the vault. Then I thought of this scheme.
How did you spread the word about your discovery?
I whispered in the right ears. Man has always looked for an easy way to riches. I thought I deserved to cash in on his greed.
How did you do it?
The machine? Oh, it's child's play. That's it in the corner. Lights, dials, gauges. Very impressive, don't you think? I place a bar of steel or brass in the trap and close the hatch. Turn on the machine. A conveyor belt moves the bar of cheap metal back and a gold bar forward. I open the hatch, and voila, there it is.
And Gruber believes this nonsense?
I haven't demonstrated it for them yet. That's why I'm frightened. I have only one gold bar left. If they make me do it more than once.
Professor, I have an idea. And it may be the only way we can get out of here alive. We have to convince Gruber and his men that your machine really works. Now listen carefully, because your life depends on it.
Okay, on your feet. Get a move on. Professor, let's talk business. This machine can turn any metal into gold.
Well, yes.
How does it work?
Well, you see, all elements have a basic atomic structure. When bombarded with electrons, the structure can be altered to form a different element.
And you form gold.
Exactly.
We'll see. If you're right, I'll pay with dollars. If you're wrong, I'll pay you both in lead.
If I may, I would like to show you how this principle works on a human being. You see, I can make a man disappear. Any volunteers?
Use Casey. If anything goes wrong, it saves us the trouble of bumping him off.
Mr. Casey, please stand behind the machine.
He's gone. Casey's disappeared. Where is he, Professor?
Well, you see, his molecular digitoid was famished out and...
Bring him back.
Now?
Yeah. Let's try it with the gold. He's back. Come on from behind that machine. I don't want you disappearing again.
Yes, we don't want that.
Now, the gold.
Well, as you see, I have a bar of copper. I place it in the machine. Here you are, Mr. Gruber. One gold bar, worth approximately $5,000.
How much do you want for the whole thing, Professor?
He wants $4 million.
Quiet, you. I asked the old man.
$4 million is a reasonable figure.
I'll call my money man. Hello, yeah. It's me, Gruber. The crazy thing really works. I saw it with my own eyes. No, it's for real. He even made a guy disappear. No, Casey. You didn't do such a thorough job on his brakes. I'll handle him later. I need a check for $4 million. No, I can't shoot him yet. I need him to operate the machine. I'm just going to show him the money to get the process started. Don't worry. I'll kill them both afterwards. Untie him. I have the money.
Let me see.
Start the machine, Professor.
Of course.
Stay away from the back of that contraption, Casey. I don't want you disappearing on us again.
It's going to explode. Get back.
Not after I spent $4 million. Make that thing turn out gold or I'll shoot you on the spot. Where is Casey? Casey, see where you are.
It's going to blow. Get back.
Casey, where?
That takes care of you, Gruber.
You turned invisible and back. Without the machine?
Never mind. Where are the rest of the men?
They ran out.
We better get out of here before it's too late.
It is the next day, back at Intersect headquarters.
Well, Sam, what are you going to do with the $4 million?
He's going to return the money to the U.S. Treasury, where it originally belonged before Gruber got his hands on it.
It was nice while it lasted. What's going to happen to Barton Schatz?
He'll have to face charges for stealing the gold.
Poor man.
I wouldn't bet on that.
All right, that was The Alchemist, which is the first track on the Gemini Man LP. There are three other adventures on this record: Double Jeopardy, the Phloem Factor, I don't know exactly how you say that, and the Benevolent Victim. Let me ask you, Chris. What did you think of this as an audio adventure?
I think this script would have been better served as a $6 million man record. I mean, basically, if you take out the invisibility part, which is not serviced well at all on this record.
No.
I mean, I've got to, you know, Power Records has made in like superpowers and other visual things work in audio somehow. They don't even seem to be bothering here. I mean, it's not like, I mean, they could have had him say, "Time to go invisible," or and had some better sound effect.
Maybe catchphrase, something.
Yeah, exactly. Saka McGee, you know, I don't know, but I mean, it's like it's just this weird sound, and you don't know. I mean, it's like what was that? You know. So this is. I mean, otherwise the audio, you know, the acting and everything's fine. I do like the fact that the guy playing the Gemini Man, Casey, is. He doesn't sound like your typical Power Records actor. I don't recognize that voice as being the usual. It kind of like what they did when they did the Lee Majors sound alike on the $6 Million Man, which I know Shag loves. They did get somebody. I don't know if that – I don't remember what Ben Murphy sounds like. I haven't seen Alias Smith and Jones in forever. So, which I did watch that show. I know him from that. So, which was a good show. I don't know what his voice sounds like, but I guess this guy's trying to sound like him, I assume. So, you know, good on them for that. But yeah, it's not Power Records or Peter Pan's finest hour by any means.
I did notice that the voice of Abby, who is, you know, basically the female lead of the show, that's Lois Lane. That's the same woman that played Lois Lane in a bunch of the Superman records. And the narrator is certainly a voice I was familiar with. But yeah, I didn't recognize the guy playing Sam Casey. The thing that's even more kind of like bewildering about this approach is the LP. And we'll have links in the show notes to my pages on the powerrecord.blogspot.com site. So you can see the LP sleeve. It's drawn by the front piece is by Neil Adams. I mean, you know, wow. You know, I mean, like they really, you know, they didn't cheap it out. They got Neil Adams to do it. And it's on the cover and he's grabbing one guy and punching another guy. And he's, again, it's weird. He's got like this halo around him. He's not turning invisible. So again, they're not suggesting that he turns invisible, and there's an inset that doesn't really tell you a whole lot of what's going on. And then what's weird is on the back cover is the one of the Power Records generic ads for all the rest of their records. You know, and you see Superman and Batman and Spider-Man and Spock, which is, you know, that's fun just seeing these four together. But there's no other, like, it says Gemini Man, and it gives you the four story titles, and that's it. There's no information on this. So if you didn't know this TV show, and as we indicated, nobody knew this TV show because it came and went in basically 2 months, you have no idea what this is. There's no context for like what this story is. So Power Records really was not bothering to do a lot of work in terms of like instructing their potential buyers why you should care about this, what this is. It doesn't even say like as seen on television. I mean, there's... If you didn't know this was a TV series, you could think this was a Power Records original because it's so obscure.
Well, I wonder, it makes me wonder, was this produced while the show was on? And by the time it came out, the show was already dead. And they just like, well, we got to use this. So let's just burn it off. And they dumped it. You know, it makes me wonder. Maybe that's one reason why it may have, because almost every Power Records has a distinctive back cover. The LPs do. It's unusual for them to have basically an ad for the other records on the back. So maybe they just dumped it, you know, because the show almost had to be canceled by the time this thing was
That's printed. True, yeah. I mean, there's no way this only took 8 weeks to produce, so you're right, yeah.
Yeah, so it makes me think that, you know, they paid Neil Adams for the cover art. You know, so maybe they just went ahead and said, ah, the heck with it, let's put it out. And, you know, like it doesn't say, from the exciting ABC TV series or whatever network it was on, right, or, you know, anything like that. So, yeah, it's just a real oddity. Did Power Records ever do a Bionic Woman album?
No, they never did Bionic Woman. Again, that's strange. They clearly would have had the... Well, I don't know. Maybe they didn't have the license. I don't know if those licenses, you know, came as like a bundle or something. I would think, because they were the same universe, but maybe not. You know, they never did a Bionic one, which is a shame because obviously they didn't do a lot of female-fronted records. Wonder Woman was pretty much it. So, yeah, that would have been cool if they had done Bionic Woman.
Yeah, I mean, it was actually popular, unlike this, you know. So.
Right, yeah. It was
had its own toy line, you know. I mean, it was – but the Kenner had – both, you know, $6 Million Man and Bionic Woman. So, yeah, it would have made – I mean, there were toys on the shelf. I mean, it would have made sense to, hey, there's an album. Goes along with your Kenner Jamie Summers doll, you know.
Yep.
So why not? But, yeah, this there's some things that I think it's kind of funny. The tying into another Fire and Water show, the gas station attendant kind of sounds like Cliff Clavin a little bit to me. So there's a little bit of John Ratzenberger there. Now we know what he was doing before – he became a postal worker. He was, you know, working as a gas attendant, but really the money man behind Gruber, who's the villain. So this ties into Die Hard. So that's cool too.
Yeah, it's all one big universe. Yes. Yeah. This was one of those records that back when I was still kind of actively doing my Power Record blog, I never knew existed. I mean, there is no on the Power Record, like there is no Power Record like generic ad, as you just talked about, that mentions this. You know, it's not like there was ever an ad for it. So I think I saw this on eBay for the first time and I was like, wait a minute, what? You know, like that really. And I, you know, I got it and bought it and listened to it. And, you know, again, it's fine. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just kind of like. It's almost like it's the audio equivalent of the TV series, you know, where you're just kind of like, all right, it's just kind of a, all right, it's just, okay. You know, like, there's nothing wrong with it, but there's just nothing special that makes it jump out at you. It was written by David Dann, who I'm not familiar with that was, and produced by Arthur Korb, who was basically the Power Records in-house producer. So, I mean, they brought their same basic level of professionalism with the sound effects and everything else. But again, I just don't think they can get past... just how generally kind of dull this concept really is. It's just like, you know, I mean, maybe they could have done more with it. Invisibility is certainly something that, you know, that the Invisible Girl has been popular for 50 years or whatever. And the Invisible Man is, you know, that's a pop. I mean, I have an Invisible Man record that adapts the book, you know what I mean? So it's not like that power inherently can't be done in an audio form, but this is just, it's kind of just warmed over secret agent stuff with a guy that turns invisible. So, I think we've kind of given as much, as much airtime to Gemini Man as it really deserves. But I did, you know, it was something that I wanted to get to on this show because it's just so obscure. And I like to think that probably a lot of the people listening to the show didn't know this existed either.
Well, you know, how obscure Gemini Man is, I don't ever remember it ever being shown on Sci-Fi Channel back when they would lump all the canceled science fiction shows together in that sci-fi collection. Remember they do that?
And yep.
You know, like you see the old Amazing Spider-Man and the Logan's Run TV show and things like that. But I don't remember this ever coming up on there. So that's pretty freaking obscure.
Yeah, it is. I mean, somebody owns this somewhere, you know, I don't know who, but somebody owns it somewhere. So yeah, I mean, probably odds are we'll, you know, maybe on the show, never get around to the other three Gemini Man adventures, but at least we did this first one, so everybody knows it does exist. So I think, do you want to move on to something a little more colorful?
Yeah, oh, very colorful. Yes, let's do that.
So anyway, yeah, the second adventure, this is called The Amazing Adventures of Hollow Man. And there's lots to say about this one, but it really does need to be believed. So I'm just going to shut up, and we're going to get right to it. So enjoy this record, The Amazing Adventures of Hollow Man, and the story called Birth of a Hero.
The coherent laser beams converged within your body and transformed you into the world's first living hologram. Your abilities are awesome and may be called upon by concentrating your thought energies with definite purpose. Just concentrate, and these powers will be yours.
Top-secret U.S. government laser development complex in a sparsely populated region of Texas, north of Dallas. Two sinister agents of an alien power quietly approach the inner security perimeter, carefully avoiding the intricate alarm system. And penetrating to the very heart of this vital energy laboratory.
By rerouting these power lines, the current of the laser device will be increased tenfold.
Yes, comrade. The American leader will surely perish in the explosion.
While at this very moment, unaware of the unbidden intruders only a few scant feet away, Dr. Robinson, the noted laser physicist, is conferring with his assistant, Dr. Hugo Petrovich.
The holographic plates have been aligned according to the computer printout, Hugo. Has the target area been prepared?
Yes, Jim. The deuterium will be placed in position according to your specifications.
Approaching the main laser lab, the President of the United States is just completing a tour of the complex and is eagerly anticipating a very special demonstration being prepared for him.
Mr. President, these laser guns are fantastic. I heard that one blast from the big one they have here can demolish an enemy tank.
I'm sorry, sir, but Dr. Robinson prefers that our research here be directed toward world peace, not war.
Good morning, Mr. President. I'm sorry I couldn't accompany you on your tour, but I had to supervise the final modifications for the demonstration.
Just what is it that I'll be seeing, Dr. Robinson?
Mr. President, you will be able to observe firsthand a new means of obtaining cheap and clean fuel through laser-induced thermonuclear fusion.
That sounds wonderful, Dr. Robinson. It could be the solution our energy-hungry country has been looking for.
Let's hope so, Mr. President. Now, if you'll come with me to the demonstration area. If you will please wear these protective lenses to protect your eyes, Mr. President.
Of course, Doctor, but are you sure this experiment is safe?
This is a controlled thermonuclear fusion, sir. We have included two ruby pulse lasers in the demonstration to provide you with holographic pictures to study following the actual fusion.
Holographic pictures? What?
Those two smaller laser devices will be activated at the very instant fusion occurs. Their beams will be split by mirrors, and the image of the fusion will be refracted through lenses onto those large plates you see in the background. The result will be totally three-dimensional reconstructions of the original subject appearing to float within each holographic plate.
What do you call these three-dimensional pictures, Doctor?
They are called holograms, Mr. President, and you will probably find them more amazing than the actual fusion demonstration.
Well, Dr. Robinson, I'm ready to see this amazing display.
Very well, Mr. President. I am now activating the lasers. Watch the deuterium cylinder and... Something is wrong. The circuits are overloading. Everyone, take cover. Mr. President, watch out!
Laser devices emitting pure, concentrated energy of a magnitude never before seen on Earth bombard the heroic James Robinson with refracted beams of such intensity that his body's molecular structure at the moment of disintegration is recorded holographically through a perfect interference pattern onto the one holographic plate not shattered by the blast. Can a mere mortal withstand such an onslaught? In the midst of this terrible violence, the room opens to the universe. Through this laser-produced tear in the fabric of time and space appears a mind aura, drawn from a distant dimensional plateau. The aura takes human form, and probing Jim's mind through the power of cosmic telepathy, communicates.
Jim Robinson, do not fear my presence. I am a friend you will come to know as Laser Man. I have caused time to warp momentarily, permitting the safe evacuation of the President and your colleagues and shielding us from their eyes. Your accident has made you a special man among all men in every dimension of time. Listen carefully as I remove you from this holographic cocoon and learn of your powers.
We
incoherent laser beams converged within your body and transformed you into the world's first living hologram. Your abilities are awesome and may be called upon by concentrating your thought energies with definite purpose. Just concentrate and these powers will be yours. You can create illusionary holograms to startle and confuse your antagonist. You have the power to travel through every dimensional level of time and space by holographically warping the molecules of your body. Through the power of holographic molecular alteration, you have the ability to blend into your surroundings, making you virtually invisible when you do not wish your presence known. And the key which unlocks the superpowers within you is contained in this holodisc, which I have brought you from a future time dimension. You must use this holodisc to recharge your holo energy force once every 12 hours to prevent your powers from fading. I must leave you now, James Robinson, but we will meet again soon. Go forth now as Holo Man to engage the forces of evil in battles from which the preservation of good must triumph and the suffering of mankind shall be eased throughout the world.
Must have been unconscious. What a strange dream.
Oh,
Hugo, is that you?
Gee, thank heavens. All right. The president and the others left hours ago. They didn't see me here.
Hours ago? That accident really knocked me for a loop.
It was no accident, Jim. It was sabotage. And I helped.
Hugo, no, I don't believe it.
It's true, Jim. I gave them the secret blueprints to this complex. Told them how to bypass the security alarm system. Had to save my family. They are being held prisoner to force my cooperation.
Who made you do this, and why?
The Saurians, your former countrymen. They have developed holographic decoy weapons system. They plan to fill the skies over all the major U.S. cities with holograms. Three-dimensional images of nuclear missiles. In the confusion and panic that follows, they will launch the real attack to overpower and enslave the United States.
Incredible. And the attempt today to kill the president?
To add to the confusion. Jim, you must get to Washington. Warn the president. The attack will come soon.
Oh. Rest easy, my friend. If there were only some way I could get to Washington in a hurry. Good grief. This pendant. A holo disc? I wonder. Under my clothes, a strange uniform. It wasn't a dream. Everything that laser man said must be true. I'd become a holo man.
Now's as good a time as any to put these superpowers to the test. I have to get to Washington in a hurry, so let's skip the plane and...
Following Laserman's instructions, Holoman concentrates his thought energies and activates his power of molecular teleportation. Leave the flying to...
me! Wow, it worked! I really wasn't sure, but... those poor tourists look like they've just seen a ghost. Better concentrate and become... invisible. I'm still here, but I've blended in with the scenery, just like a chameleon. Let's see. That's the Washington Monument, so the White House should be right over... here. Right on target. Now let's hope the president is alone in the Oval Room. I'd hate to embarrass the First Lady by popping in where I'm least expected. Concentrate and... Mr. President, I presume.
What? Who? Where did you come from?
Mr. President, this country, our country, is in grave danger. You are aware of the explosion that destroyed the main test lab at the laser development complex this morning.
Aware of it? If it weren't for a brave physicist by the name of Robinson, I would have been killed in it. But how could you know about it? That complex is top secret.
Mr. President, I am known as Holo Man. My powers are many. You saw me materialize through that wall. I had to talk to you about the deliberate explosion at the complex.
wasn't an accident.
Believe me, Mr. President, I know. The Saurians were responsible for the sabotage plot.
But why? What could they hope to accomplish?
They tried to kill you, Mr. President, to help ensure the success of their plan.
Plan? Plan for what?
Imagine, Mr. President, a whole sky full of holographic missiles. Although harmless, the resulting panic in our cities and confusion among the ranks of our armed forces would leave us helpless before the real Saurian invasion. Your death would have added to the confusion.
I heard about holograms this morning, but what on earth is a holographic missile?
I think a demonstration is in order. Mr. President, what is standing in the middle of this room?
Why, nothing. There's only a bare carpet.
Watch closely, Mr. President.
Good heavens, a missile. How did you do that?
Try to touch the missile, sir.
My hand goes right through it. It's here, but it isn't here. I guess I do believe you. Holo man.
I suggest we keep our meeting a secret, Mr. President. I don't think people would understand if you tried to explain me just now.
I believe you're right, Holo Man. But what do we do about the invasion?
I will leave immediately for Syria. You must try to prevent the panic from spreading when the holographic missiles appear.
I'll notify all the armed forces brass and top government officials personally.
Good luck to you, Mr. President.
The luck must ride with you, Holo Man. The invasion has to be stopped.
I can feel my powers growing weaker. Almost didn't make it through that last wall.
Okay, Holo Disc, time for a recharge.
The skies over Washington. Holographic missiles. The first stage of the invasion of the United States has already begun.
Don't miss the Saurian confrontation in the next super-epic issue of The Amazing Adventures of Holo Man.
Yeah, I'm still laughing coming back from the break. This is The Amazing Adventures of Holo Man. For those of you that are like, Gemini Man, who's that? Well, that, compared to Holo Man, Gemini Man is Superman, I would say, in terms of name recognition. Holo Man was Power Records' attempt at doing their very own superhero. As we've seen, we see nowadays with the streaming wars. You know, of course, everybody... Most people are old enough to remember that when Netflix started, Netflix was just a movie delivery system. And then they decided, they got in their mind, said, oh, wait a minute, we can make our own movies and TV shows. And then eventually everybody does that. Hulu does it, Amazon does it, Disney Plus is going to do it. So no matter every company that is built upon licensing properties eventually gets a little over their skis and decides we can do it ourselves. And this was, unfortunately, I put that in quotes, unfortunately, Holo Man's single appearance, despite the fact that this story ends on a hell of a cliffhanger. But yeah, this was their sole adventure for Holo Man. There's kind of a lot to say about this, but I'm dying to find out, Chris, what you thought of this.
Well, oddly enough, I knew more about Holo Man than I did Gemini Man, because I never had this as a kid, but I did have...
I don't think anybody Jeff had this as a kid.
No, I don't think they did either, but I did have Jeff Rovin's The Encyclopedia of Superheroes, which I got for like my 11th birthday in 1985, and inside the cover of this comic slash record is reproduced in full color, and of course he's got to be in full color because, you know,
exactly.
I mean, my God. And it lists, you know, he gets a listing like, you know, after a Hawkman and before the Hulk. I mean, Holo Man is right in there. You know what I mean? Like, he's legit. You know?
I love that positioning. That's just fantastic.
Yeah. So, I mean, I knew of him and it's like, wow, this was a Peter Pan record. So this was like, you know, and I knew what Peter Pan records were. So I'm like, this was a Power record, really? You know, I had no idea that this existed. So, you know, and yeah. That but wow, I mean, yeah, this is something else. We should discuss. We need to discuss this.
Yeah, I mean, good Lord, there's so much. It's just there's so much to this. In that, I mean, first of all, I love the fact that he meets President Jimmy Carter. That's very exciting. Like that, I mean, that's just, like, I love that. That's just, Jimmy Carter is on, like, page two of this story, you know what I mean? Or, like, you're not page two, but it'd be, like, pretty soon into the story, he appears, which I like. That's kind of a ballsy move of Power Records to be like, all right, this is the world this guy's traveling in. But, like, I mean, forgive me, Chris, this is very obscure. But, and we're going back to Mystery Science Theater again, but I don't know. There was an episode of Mystery Science Theater where they did a movie called Radar Secret Service. I don't know if you're familiar with that one. It's a movie from the 40s, and it's all about these detectives that have this newfangled piece of hardware called radar. And the way the writers took the news of this technology, you really get the sense that they thought radar was literally capable of anything. And every time they had to have something happen where, like, they had to figure out where the villains are, and it was like, well, we'll just turn on the radar. And you're like, guys, radar just doesn't do everything. It gives you some general sense of something, but it can't. But the writers were just thought it was this magical weapon. And the way the Power Record writers, by the way, seven writers listed on this script. seven writers. You know how many people wrote Taxi Driver? One guy. One guy wrote Taxi Driver. It took seven people to write the Hollow Man record. But the way they talk about holograms in this story, it's just like the most magical thing. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess we are. I mean, you know, there's like the Tupac hologram. I guess it's kind of amazing. But the way they talk about holograms is just like, it's the most amazing thing you're ever going to see, kids. Holograms. It's so exciting.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, he sits Dr. Robinson, James Robinson, also, you know, the creator of Jack Knight's Starman, apparently is Hollow Man.
Superman's crossover.
Yeah. So he sets the president, Jimmy Carter, down, and he's more excited about the holograms than safe nuclear fusion.
Yeah.
We're going to show you nuclear fusion right in front of you, but check out these holograms, holograms, holograms. We keep saying hologram, holograms.
Holograms, yeah, holograms.
Holograms, which the guy playing Robinson, he kind of, his voice reminds me a little bit of Jackson Bostwick that played Captain Marvel, just a little bit. There's something about it. I know it's not him, but it kind of. And my biggest disappointment in this whole thing was that Jimmy Carter did not sound like Jimmy Carter.
No.
I wanted somebody to do the Southern, you know, the Jimmy Carter accent. I wanted the Jimmy Carter accent. I was like, oh, come on, man. I'm looking right at him. Where's that accent? Come on. Again, the $6 million man guy, he could have done it. Steve Austin.
Exactly.
But yeah, this origin is like somebody took the origins of the Hulk. There's a lot of Hulk origin of the comics in this, and the Hulk and Captain Marvel and Shazam,
yeah,
and Green Lantern, and threw them in a blender, hit frappe, and that's one reason why his outfit's all rainbow, because he's these different characters just mashed together. Oh my god!
I also love in the middle of the comic how the story just stops for this 2-page text piece. Talking about the holograms, you see something hanging in the air. It is so real that you reach out to touch it, but your fingers go right through it as if it were a ghost. You see figures inside a cylinder moving like miniature people, but you look inside, see there is nothing there. These visions are not real. They are images called holograms, produced by holography, a new form of three-dimensional photography. And then it goes on for about 12 more paragraphs about this. It's like they were just really all in on the hologram technology.
I think somebody at Power Records must have invested in holograms like some kind of money or something. That's the only reason I can explain this. This kind of reminds me one time when me and Cindy and the kids were on vacation. I think we were down at Dollywood in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. And they, you know, of course, just like any amusement park, theme park, they have different shows and things throughout the day. And they had this guy, I can't think of his name, so I apologize, but he was supposed to be the foremost bubble artist in the world.
Okay.
And
all right.
He did all these, especially when you have kids, it was a neat show. He did all these things with bubbles and, you know, he put himself inside a bubble and all these things. But the video that started it out was the most overblown piece of propaganda about the silliest thing I've ever heard. Much like this. It's like, bubbles are the most amazing thing ever created. You know, that, I mean, and that's what I get from this. It's like, somebody was really just, I mean, like you said, they were really buying the holograms. I mean, yeah, we got Tupac. It's, you can bring dead rappers back. You know, that's great. But you know, it's like, I just, wow. And the fact that he goes into another dimension, and I wanted to say this came out in 78, but Superman the movie didn't come out till December of 78, because right. I wanted to say, okay, they got him trapped in that mirror in space from the Phantom Zone. But
right,
no.
Right, no, yeah. This is one of the 19 people that wrote this came up with that.
Yeah, so Laser Man, you know, who
right. –
you know, looks like God, you know, just out in space, and gives him, and you know, he's, and not only does he give him a amulet to recharge his powers, but it's from the future, you know. This is the same committee that created Poochie on The Simpsons. You know,
we need to Rastafari him by 10%. Yeah. While I'm thinking of it, this bubble video that you mentioned, I really hope that I'm picturing the bubble guy. He opens it with like the 2001 music. It's like really grand, you know.
Yeah.
Da-da.
I think actually it was in there. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. but look, we come to praise Hollow Man, not bury him, because what I love about this thing is the hubris behind it. I just like the sheer exuberance that they have, and this episode is all about callbacks, because this actually kind of reminds me, and you know, hold on, let me pause and say, Hollow Man, they weren't just thinking Hollow Man was going to be a star of records. Power Records had a lot of hopes for this guy. There were a lot of Power Records that never got any sort of ad support, like in comic books, but yet they ran special ads in comics for Hollow Man, where you could get the Hollow Man Adventure Kit. And you can see that ad on the website powerrecord.blogspot.com, where you could get the book and record. It came with like your own holographic pendant. I mean, they were really all in on the hollow disc, as they called it. I mean, they were all in on this. I mean, they bought half page ads for this thing. They had the book and record that they were sure was going to be a giant hit, and they really thought this was going to be this huge, huge thing. And on the cover, you see a mysterious guy who is this sort of like hippie Doctor Strange looking dude who appears only on the cover and then on the back, the final page. And they never explain who this guy is. Presumably he's going to be Hollow Man's arch nemesis, his Doctor Doom, because he kind of looks like that guy. He looks like that kind of guy. But you never know. So they and obviously the story ends with a cliffhanger. So they were really had high hopes for this. And where I was going with this was, it reminds me a little bit of another Will Smith movie, After Earth, that movie he did with his son from a couple of years ago, because apparently the studio that backed that movie, they thought they had the next Star Wars, and they had a plan for like an animated series and a TV series and like a line of clothing and like power drinks. They had it all lined up, and they're like, "Weird, this thing is going to be the next," and then it just. And all of that went away. And there's something to me almost admirable about that level of confidence to have in this concept. That you're like, this thing is going to be so huge that let's get ahead of this and get all this stuff ready. And yet,
right.
Nothing. It didn't get, you know, I mean, it went. I mean, they had Spider-Man Power Records. They had Batman Power Records. They had Planet Apes Power Records. None of those characters ever got their own ad in a comic book. Ever, but right. Hollow Man did.
Yeah.
That it just, I just love that. I love that Power Records was so confident. Art wise, this is drawn by Joe Giella, who's a perfectly serviceable artist. I've never been that big of a fan. To me, his stuff is just very, very simple. It's kind of like coloring book level. I know this is hard to say, Chris, obviously, but you're good at imagining these things going forward. Like, what would this have looked like if they had gotten like Neil Adams, you know, or like Larry Hama to do it? Would they have been able to put this over if they had gotten somebody of some real power behind it?
I don't know. I mean, the cover is by Giella and Bob Larson.
Right. One of the great painters for the Marvel magazine, you know, the black and white magazines of the 70s. So the cover's really nice.
Right, right. So, yeah, the cover's nice. And, I thought the same thing. I said, you know, because there's two Neil Adams kids up in the corner.
That's right.
Of this, you know, listening to a record. Not this one. No, they're not listening to this record. But if they got Neil Adams or somebody like that, and they designed a better costume, let's face it. Hollow Man's costume is not going to – yeah. The painting of it's not that bad, but when you see it drawn in the comic book, yeah, it's pretty horrendous. if they got Neil Adams or somebody like that – maybe, but Neil Adams also created Skate Man. So, you know, I'm just saying.
That's true. Not everything he touched turned to gold, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Neil Adams, not infallible, you know, here's a question, though. When you brought up things like After Earth and stuff like that. Whenever these studios or comic companies or whoever it is that puts out this product that has this incredible faith in it beyond reason, really, does it ever pan out? Has there ever been a case where they were ready for it and it really did go over as big as they thought? I can't think of one.
That's a really good point. There's got to be something, and for those of you listening, you're probably yelling at your iPhone going, oh, you know, the Team America or US One. If you can think of something, leave a comment on the website, firewaterpodcast.com. But yeah, I'm drawing a blank. You're right, because it's like you think about the history of the merchandising campaigns that had to catch up to the popularity of the product, and you're thinking of like Planet of the Apes or Star Wars or Star Trek. Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody really thought this any of those had merchandising potential, and then they had to play catch up. But you're right. That's a really good point. I'm drawing a blank at any property that was ready to match the popularity that they thought it was going to have.
Well, think about Batman 89. Now that's one you could say, well, yeah, they had all that stuff ready, but but that was Batman, and that was product that they already, I mean, yes, they geared up a little bit because the movie was coming out, but a lot of that from 1989, one, it was just the bat symbol. It didn't look like the movie for the most part.
Right.
And a lot of it was the Jose Luis Garcia Lopez, praise be his name, artwork from the 1982 DC Style Guide slapped on everything. The following year, Disney's like, we'll make this Dick Tracy movie, and we'll get all this product out. It'll be just like Batman and just as big. And then it wasn't. You know, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's – so, you know, Hollow Man is you know, you gotta give him credit for being, you know, for reaching for the stars. I mean, they even introduced, he's got a whole family.
He's got the Hollow Squad.
The Hollow Squad, and ain't no Hollow Back Girls in there, but.
Laser Woman is pretty hot, I have to say.
She's pretty hot, and Utopia's, you know, rather elegantly fetching, and, I guess Wavelength is the kid, and he's got a cockatoo on his shoulder.
I'm already sick of that kid.
He's got some kind of – is that a raccoon? What the heck is that?
He's got something going. He's got a Daggett sort of thing going on. Yeah. I don't know what that's
about. It's like the bad kid from Battlestar Galactica. Yeah. But here's one thing I got to say in the plot. You know, the plot is strange as hell. But, okay, here's the thing. The Surians have this holographic – missiles, okay? Well, if they launch holographic missiles, what's to stop the U.S. from launching real ones? You know? So that's like, But yeah, the fact that it ends on a cliffhanger, it's like, why did they not, you know, that begs another question. At what point were they going to release the second one? You know, why didn't part one and two come out at the same time so the kid who bought it could go back to the store and say, mommy, I gotta, you know, I need this other Hollow Man record, you know, which no kid ever said, but, why didn't I not have it available? Was it that they also, by the time this thing got printed, realized, oh crap, we're not going to make any more of these. I don't think that's what happened, but it's like, it just seems odd that the second one wasn't available. You know, it's like, how long were you going to wait to release the second part? Were they going to, you know, make us wait a year? Was this like Infinity War and Endgame? I mean, what were you?
I guess the Surians figured that Jimmy Carter was, you know, he was Jimmy Carter. He wasn't going to fire any missiles back. I mean, if they had tried to pull that shit under Ronald Reagan, that would have been a very different story. But I mean, I guess with Jimmy Carter, they were confident that, oh, Mr. Carter, I'm not going to fire no missiles back at the Surians. yeah, I mean, like I said, I really wanted to talk about this one for the longest time because it's just so silly. And you mentioned that Jeff Roven book of That's How You Heard of Hollow Man. Hollow Man, I have to mention my very tangential connection to this character in that a couple of years ago, actually almost like 10 years ago at this point, Quirk Books, I'm looking at the date now. It's only 2015. Well, time's going by so slow. In 2015, Quirk Books released a book called The League of Regrettable Superheroes, which was just like a little compendium of superheroes that were one-offs and, you know, never went anywhere. And they wrote a chapter on Hollow Man, and they could not find any scans of the record. And they saw my blog, and they reached out to me and asked me would I provide scans of Hollow Man. And I did. So I am credited in that book, The League of Regrettable Superheroes, Hollow Man. So that's pretty much the last listing he's ever going to get. And it shows a picture of the cover, and it gives a little biography, and it has a little headshot of him and stuff. It's just really fun, and I love that Power Records thought, you know, well, we can do this. This isn't that hard, you know? And then they did it, and they're like, oh, actually, this is kind of hard. So maybe let's go back and let's do a couple more Spider-Man records. I mean, I mentioned Mego not that long ago, and of course, everyone knows Chris is a mega Mego expert, Mego fan. But, I mean, it's sort of funny when you think about, like, for those of you that are not that familiar with the Mego line, like, as they expanded, you know, of course, they started including, you know, all the ancillary characters, you know, the Falcon and the Fantastic Four and Green Arrow. And then, of course, as sales started to dip, they contracted again. And they really focused on, didn't they pretty much end their run just making, like, Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, and Hulk? Like, isn't that how they kind of went out? They stuck
Robin, and that's it. Yeah,
right, like the core heroes. And that's just Power Records did the same thing. When Power Records went out, they were basically reduced to just reissuing Spider-Man, Wonder Woman, Batman, Superman records over and over and over in different formats, cassettes and that kind of, you know, they just realized, okay, you know, we're going to kind of get rid of the Planet of the Apes. We're going to get rid of Star Trek. Well, no, they did Star Trek because of the movie. But I mean, they, you know, they, no more man things, you know,
right.
No suicidal clowns, no more Metamorpho, no Flash. We're going to concentrate on the key characters. And so this was, you know, this was Power Records feeling expansive and, you know, bless them for trying something. You know, you, what's Wayne Gretzky, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So I'm glad this thing exists. I love that it exists as a cliffhanger. It's a goofy little asterisk in the Power Records career. And I am so thrilled that we finally got around to, we finally found a place to put it in because I don't know. I just love this thing.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun just because it is such a strange, it's a strange artifact of its time. It's like when holograms were this, oh my God. I mean, in Star Wars, holograms are used as a pretty cool, you know, I get that's part of it. But oddly enough, we talked about, you know, the fads and all the merchandise. And oddly enough, perhaps the greatest use of holograms was to verify that you, in 1982, had an official Batman licensed product. Because every Batman product that came out with Batman Returns had either a holographic tag or a holographic sticker of the bat symbol on it. So.
Wow. Oh, man. See? If it's good enough for Hollow Man, it's good enough for Batman. God damn it.
That's right.
So, all right. So, that's. I think we've spent more time talking about Hollow Man than any two people on planet Earth have ever done or will ever do. So I think unless you have anything else you want to say about Hollow Man, do you want to move on to listener feedback?
Let's do listener feedback.
All right, let's do listener feedback. So either this is for the previous episode, which was our Superman and Batman episode. So I'm going to start off, and these are all comments that we got from our website, which is fireandwaterpodcast.com. So we're going to start with a comment from Matt Siros. I don't know how you pronounce that. Matt, please let us know. He says, so happy to have another episode of Power Records. It's my absolute favorite podcast. It's also the one that introduced me to the Fire and Water Network. Wow, look at that. No offense to Shag or Cindy, but Rob and Chris are the best pairing. Wow. Your joy. I cannot and I'm unwilling to do things Cindy is willing to do, Matt, so I'm sorry. Your joy of discussing these records and the Superman movies is clear and makes these podcasts almost as much fun as the Power Records themselves. Thank you, Matt. That's a very nice compliment.
Yes, it was. And in a similar vein, we're just puffing up our egos with these first two. Bruce Wayne Weaver wrote in and said, I absolutely adore this podcast. Rob and Chris obviously love these Power Records and always bring interesting and engaging conversations about them. Keep it up, guys. Well, we may have challenged you with this one, Bruce Wayne Weaver, but I hope you enjoyed this one as well.
So. Yeah, we're definitely pushing it with this episode, no doubt. Daniel Ulrich says, thank you all for a great show. The Alien Creatures is one of the few Power Records that I owned. Like Scott, of course, as you mentioned, our guest was Scott X on that episode. I played the heck out of it, but I lost it somewhere in time, either when we moved or when I was eight, or it got broken and my mom threw it away, so I would not be upset. Never heard the Batman story before, but I agree it sounds like something out of the Filmation animation series of the 60s. Thank you again, and hope there's not another long break between episodes. Daniel, no, there wasn't. P.S. Yes, the $6 million man. Boy, everybody loves $6 million man. We really do got to get to that.
Yeah, we've got to. Our listeners demand it. So, Jeff R. wrote in. That was quite a passive aggressive little speech from Perry White. Okay, you haven't done much for us lately, but here. have they figured out that a steady stream of award ceremonies is the way to keep Superman from staging elaborate Silver Age pranks on his friends in the city? Maybe that's what it is. Yeah, it's just like, it's like, oh, God, we got to keep him busy. We got to keep him occupied.
I've gone evil. I'm just kidding, folks. I was just keeping you all on your toes. Yeah. We had a comment from NetMinistrator who posted a link to the images from my own website, thepowerrecords.blogspot.com. So, yeah, I should mention that we don't do a gallery post for this because all the images you can see on my Power Records blog, which again is powerrecord.blogspot.com. So you can just go there and see all the images. They're not the super high res ones, but they're as good as I had at the time. So you can go check out and you can see every page of Hollow Man. On the website. It wasn't that fun scanning all 24 pages of that in, plus the Gemini Man LP. We got a comment from Brian Washington. He says, thanks again for another cool episode. The Batman theme, which opened and ended the LP, actually came from the Batman and Robin LP from Tifton Records in 1966. The album also included an original composition, Robin's Theme, with the same female vocalist. The narrator for the second Batman album was Elliot Lewis, an actor, writer, producer, and director during the golden age of radio. During his time with Power Records, he was also the following voices. And Brian gives us a list. The second Superman, the second Mr. Spock, Steve Austin, the first two albums, Commander John Koenig, both Space 1999 albums. The 45 mentioned on the Batman story was actually a 7-inch LP, just saying. And finally, the Shazam 7-inch LP was copyrighted 1977. Peter Pan had since retired the Power name. In spite of such, they reused the Power Records back cover from 1975 because superhero. Thank you for all that information, Brian. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's like we just in my head, Power Records and Peter Pan are like interchangeable because that's the parent company. But yeah, that's good to know the exact – you know, the exact details of when and where they quit using it and when they used it again. And that's fascinating stuff. It's like, you know, that they were probably like the reason they used that on the back is they were busy coming up with Hollow Man while, you know, that's a, you know, all seven people were in the office that day, you know, coming up with the origin. So Mike Bridges writes in, interesting. I've always wanted to put a face with the actors and now we have at least one. And he mentions Elliot Lewis again. So we need to look into Elliot Lewis a little bit more, the actor. So, you know, at least we've got, I know, you know, a few other actors from the Power Records. It'd be nice to make a list one day and just kind of do an IMDb, like what all these people did, or, you know, look them up on Wikipedia or something.
That would be great. I mean, the only one that I know of for certain is Spider-Man, Peter Parker from Mark and the Man Wolf, is Peter Fernandez, Speed Racer.
Right.
That's the only one that I'm familiar with totally. But yeah, that would be really cool. We joke about doing the Power Records coffee table book someday. I mean, these things deserve to be unearthed. I mean, virtually everything has been dug up, and like the Slurpee cups and, you know, every Mego. I mean, God, Mego's back in toy stores now, for Pete's sakes. This stuff is, by the fact that Power Records podcast is one of the more popular shows on the network, despite we only do them every so often, people really love these things, and they deserve not to be just forgotten about just because the licensing is all complicated. So we got a comment from Liz Ann Oswald. She says the Bats story reminded me a bit of 1970s Bats, but yeah, it was mostly like new look Batman, but cool story, and it avoided the Bat God that can beat anyone up with prep time. I liked that he won, but also made mistakes. Also, that Catwoman made him Catman for a bit without knowing it. Anyway, can't wait to hear the next podcast. Well, thank you, Liz Ann.
Yes. Gothos Manchin wrote in, I'm not that crazy about the Superman voice actor either, but I prefer the voice actress playing Lois on the stories on this album. The actress playing Lois on the album with Tomorrow the World has such a nasal, irritating voice that instead of picturing a Nick Carty or Kurt Schaffenberger Lois, I keep picturing the nosy neighbor on Bewitched, Mrs. Kravitz, I guess. I need to bust out my book and record for Alien Creatures and check out Lois, if she looks that good. I don't remember what she looked like in it. Yeah, we went on. I think I went on more than you and Scott about how fetching Lois was in that. But, you know, she just – I never saw Kurt Swan draw Lois that attractive, honestly. So I was like, wow, you know.
Yeah, no, she's Lois. Yeah, she's just swinging 70s chick, yeah. So we got a comment from Ward Hill Terry, who I have been fortunate enough to meet at the Boston Fan Expo. Think Abe Lincoln. He says, this was a lot of fun. They all are. The Superman story seems more like a 60s cartoon than the 70s comic. Clark Lois, Jimmy Perry, and no violence. What bugs me is the timeline. Jimmy drove to the observatory in, what, 4 minutes? That's as fast as Orson Welles got from the Princeton to Grover's Mill. Lois finished her lunch, and the aliens were falling, and she got the galaxy before Superman? Why wouldn't Superman have declined the luncheon in the first place? I think that a writer like Kerry Bates or Elliot S. Magan would have had Superman fly into Clark's office, see Lois, and ask Lois, where's Clark? That at least gives him a pretext for being there and allays any of her suspicions. As I was listening to the Batman story, I could see Irv Novik's Batman and Catwoman, as well as his Bruce and Selina. I really liked the city sound effects at the beginning of the story. Now, this was definitely a 70s Batman comic. No trapping to the TV show at all. I enjoyed the closing music also. I liked listening for the little changes, one note here, one syncopation there, that made it almost but not quite Neil Hefti's theme. You can hear the producer, right? Just change a note or two so that we don't get sued.
Yeah. The same thing Mego did, but they're Batman commercials for their Batman. It's the song gets stuck in your head, and it's like it's close to the Neil Hefti theme, but it's not quite, and it's not, again, not not suable over. So right. Mike Bridges wrote in and said, I always look to see if I can find an unknown Power record. Over the years, I have found a few Conan movie record, Ghostbusters, etc. Looks like that well was pretty much run dry, but I did find another label called Kid Stuff Records that released a few Transformers, your favorite, Rob, Masters of the Universe, James Bond, Moonraker, and a Knight Rider book and record. I had some of these, and I still do have some of these Kid Stuff Records, the Masters of the Universe and the Transformers in particular. I have quite a few of those. Those were, you know, what I went to when Power Records dried up, when Peter Pan... you couldn't find them anymore. Well, I don't know if they went out of business or they just shifted. I guess they never went out of business, really, but they just quit releasing the book and record sets or book and tape sets. And I did have quite a few from Kid Stuff Records. And I remember the Master of the Universe one. Most of them were – the interiors were black and white with no color. The lining.
Really? Huh.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of a – kind of a step down from Power Records in
did,
a lot of ways.
Yeah, geez. I really enjoy these comments from Mike Bridges because I think he kind of like comments in sort of like real time stream of consciousness. Because then he left another comment and he gave us these. Here's a complete list of what they did. Here, there was a Spider-Man Hulk cassette there too, and he has a list of all the Kid Stuff records. And then he writes, and a Webster book and record? I got to hear that one. Not a comic or a superhero, but a definite curiosity. And then he provides the link. And then there's another comment where he goes, never mind. I found the Webster record on YouTube, and it is terrible.
Did they not get Alex Karras to voice Webster's dad? I mean, come on, Mongo, give Mongo a job. Come on.
you really took us on a journey there, Mike. It was like, I found this Webster record. I got to hear that. Oh, wait, no, it's terrible. It's just like, oh, okay. Well, yeah. Yes, Webster merely pawn in Game of Life. So, and finally, we got a comment from Joe X, who says, these records would make great additions to the DC Universe app. You betcha. You know, yes. I mean, that's a very interesting comment because, of course, part of the problem with doing any sort of Power Records compendium is the licensing would be just impossible. I mean, that's why it's so hard to do like a book on Migos now, is because it's, you know, you have to get like the apes rights and the Superman. I mean, you're never going to do it. But I mean, DC could, you know, presumably just get their records and put them up. That would be really cool. Because these things are so much fun and they deserve to be unearthed. And I think that's kind of what Chris and I are doing in our own small little way, is, you know, getting these out there for people. So thanks to everybody for leaving comments. That's really great. This was, I mean, it was really fun how much everybody gets into it and gives us back information that we didn't know. So this was really cool stuff. So as always, if you want to leave a comment, go to the website, which is fireandwaterpodcast.com. And of course, we have some news related to the Fire and Water Podcast Network. Since Chris and I did the last episode, we have now launched a Fire and Water Podcast Network Patreon. So you can go to patreon.com/FW podcast, and we'll have the link in the show notes, and there you can contribute to keep the network going. You can leave a one-time pledge, or even better, an ongoing monthly pledge. And we already have people who, one of the levels that you can contribute to, the reward you get is to be name-checked on an every episode of a show of your choice. And we already have some people that want to be name-checked on Power Records.
Wow.
Which is really exciting. So, Chris, do you want to just go through the brief list of names?
Yes, our Power Record Patreons are David Branning, David A. Scudieres, Gord Tolton, and R.W. Lovejoy. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for supporting us on Patreon.
Yeah, that's amazing. I really appreciate it. That was so cool to see the Power Record show pop up in the little field of like, what show do you want to be thanked on? I was like, oh, wow, Power Records already. So that's really cool. So, yeah, thanks to everybody that has made the Patreon a real runaway success right from the very beginning. We've been very, very humbled by all the support that everybody has lent us. And it makes us feel great to know that we're going to be able to keep the network going as long as possible and be able to do all this stuff and have fun like we're doing here. And it really means a lot to all of us that you stepped up and supported us. So, again, if you want to go to the Patreon page, it's patreon.com/FW podcast. So that is going to do it. Chris, we got almost something like almost an hour out of Hollow Man and Gemini Man. So we deserve some sort of medal or perhaps a hollow disc.
I think so. I think I'm going to disappear now, though.
Absolutely. So anyway, that is going to do it for this episode of the Power Records Podcast. Chris and I promised in the last episode that it wouldn't be too long before we did another one. And we kept that promise. I'm very proud of us, Chris, that we came back and did this another one. So I think we will make the same promise this time, as it won't be too much longer before we come back and do another one. We'll let it be so long. So again, thanks everybody for listening. Till the next episode, drop the needle
and turn the page.
Come, Robin, into the Batmobile and home.